Alrighty. Let's see, we have no items on consent, so we'll go straight into discussion matters. The first discussion item is yours, Commissioner Christman, the decommissioning plan for Tatanka Wind.
So, in a previous discussion, they had brought in a plan that it would be a different way to dismantle and decommission that wind farm. And the cost would have been about 56% of the normal cost of how everyone else is planning on doing them. There's more details, but that was the big part, and I expressed some discomfort with it, and it sounded like there was kind of consensus on that, but somebody suggested that perhaps they could bring back another effort, and so they did, and to me it doesn't change a whole lot in that previous effort, along with that different way of dismantling for not much over half the cost. They had offered to add to the cost of that new method a 10% contingency fee, and then do a couple things that aren't required of them, but that we require of newer developers. And so they knew we liked those things, and the contingency fee would more than cover the cost of that. Now, in their newest version, they essentially are committing to the same things, except for they're adding the cost of those extras they are offering to do before they calculate the 10% contingency fee. So now they're offering to pay about 60% of what, you know, a normal process would be. Actually, there's through December 3rd for timing as far as requesting a hearing on that. I'm not really anticipating requests for hearing. And so just in order to move forward in a timely manner, I ask that it be put on today. If there are no requests for hearing, do you want me to just bring an order to the next meeting, or does someone want a work session on this?
I believe we should have a work session on it. I was the one who indicated that if they could provide more data. One of the concerns, and this is really, to go into detail, we can do that during the work session. If that occurs, there's nothing that I heard either way other than the unknown in terms of approving or denying. So I wanted to see some more statistics and facts, and I thought they came back with a little bit more. I guess I have other comments, but they might be more appropriate just to wait until a work session.
If you'd like a work session, we'll add that to scheduling then. Yeah. And get one.
But that was the genesis of why they came back, I believe.
I think it's a good idea to visit if I have one.
Okay.
All right. All right.
We'll make that number 3 then for scheduling.
Yes. Yeah. All right, next up, we have the Mayville outages. Victor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I don't know if everyone had a chance to read the memo I sent out yesterday on this, after some investigation with the company, I think the way they handled the outages was appropriate. They weren't quite sure what was causing it, and I think the memo kind of lays that out. I didn't see any major problems in how they handled the outages themselves and how they were trying to troubleshoot. The one troubling issue that I found in there was the testing of transformers. You know, mm-hmm. So they had done a test of that transformer in September of 2020. It passed all the tests that they did at the time, except for they had done an oil sample, which wasn't tested by their lab for about another 3 months in December. And then those tests showed that it may have maybe going out, essentially that it has these dissolved gases that indicate arcing and bad things inside of it. Those tests were forwarded to their engineering department, who received them assuming in January, I'm sorry, in December, and no action was taken from that point on. Now, I'm not an expert on transformers, so I can't tell you if that means you should immediately replace it, but it seems like a good indicator. So,
what's the company said about that delay? First, the delay in the testing, and then, did they delay the test or delay the results?
The test wasn't delayed, but the action on the results is what seems to be delayed.
Yeah.
And we don't have an answer from them. I was getting pretty deep into the weeds on what this actual issue is, and I guess I'm just curious if the commission is interested in having, it doesn't need to be a formal proceeding of any type. We could simply do a informal public information exchange with them to discuss, here's what the normal testing things are. Here's what we normally do with them. I guess what my concern is we're paying, or customers are paying, for this testing to be done, and it appears that nothing is being done with those tests. So either we need to not pay for the tests, or you need to
take
action.
Well, did you have comments?
I have thoughts.
Well, here's one of my thoughts, and I think in terms of how they communicated and processed the event itself, worked through the event itself. At that point in time, it is what it is in terms of, okay, transformers out. One of my really significant concern I have related to the event was, to me, it exposed vulnerabilities in their backup plan to get power back online, and the fact that they were really having trouble finding a replacement or moving another transformer to replace the one that went out.
Yeah.
So what about redundancies in their system? And I realized that if we told a utility, have a fleet of these out there, they'd be more than happy to purchase those because they'd get a return on equity. But we do have to balance reliability, and then with the new law that's in effect tied to that, I think this event is questionable in that sense. Did they have the proper backups in place to deal with this? And so we've got the testing component, we've got the communication during the event component, what did they do with the tests, what about that money that was spent, but did they have enough in terms of backup equipment and replacement parts? And completely unrelated to this, but there was another instance in the communication side where we asked that same question. That part was so hard to find, and it was a long period of time with an outage. And then you look, and we don't regulate that in the same way, but that's my most significant concern is, what's the game plan? Are they properly equipped to deal with these types of things? And they are going to happen, but there was just a recent event, major malfunction in Harvey. Mm-hmm. And I thought the company moved, significantly faster. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest point. Do we bring them in for that? Do we request more information in advance? Simple question. The various transformers, because they're different vintage, age-wise, they're different models. Which are the most vulnerable? Have they done that internal review? If this one goes out, power is going to be out for 3 or 4 days.
Sure.
And are they running through those scenarios? Did you get into that with them at all?
Well, we did. So that's another complicating factor with this particular one. So the transformer that went out is a 4 kilovolt transformer. They're in the process of changing their entire distribution system to a minimum of 12.5 kilovolt. So it gets into a lot of electrical details, but essentially that system isn't prepared to take 12.5 kilovolt. So those two transformers I mentioned in my memo, one was 4 kilovolt, one was 12.5. You can't just hook up everybody to the 12.5. The 12.5 was large enough to handle that load, but the system downstream of that was not electrically prepared to take that much power.
Yeah. So just think of this event. It happened when it was very one of the hottest times of the summer. So there was spoiled food. There was a lot of discomfort, and not to mention, for some individuals, it's a health risk, that excessive heat. What if it happened when it was 30 below? You know, the food part aside, which, you know, people had to pick up their own tab on that, in terms of the spoiled food, but what if you flip the scenario around and when we look at the new legislation that was recently passed on reliability, I think it gets into instances like that and how we evaluate. So I'd have to think a little bit. I'd be welcome to hear the other thoughts in terms of how we move forward. We need to at least, very least, bring the company in, but I think we should have a number of these questions answered in advance.
Sure. I mean, if there's specific questions like that, I mean, I can send off additional data requests. I have a number of data requests that were already sent off and answered by the company.
I agree. I think that a follow-up meeting would be appropriate and informal or something. And I think the company could respond to your memo and provide additional insight. And I'm sure Dave Cedarquist is listening, so he's probably gotten a list of the questions already that have come up. So, and then, you know, and invite the community members to listen in as well. I appreciate that they filed the request and triggered, you know, the more in-depth analysis of this situation, because it is a good case study in how they're prepared to deal with these sorts of incidences. And it would have been disastrous to have power, a whole day without power in the winter. So yeah, I think it's definitely a great one to review more closely.
I want to say that I have two areas that I would like you to explore further, and maybe you just know the answer to. So I don't know how comparable this is, but my experience with testing of oil has to do with diesel engines when something seemed wrong. And twice I've taken samples over to Butler, and I didn't expect to wait 2.5 or 3 months to hear if something was wrong there. And that's kind of the time frame here from September to December till it was tested. And then from that step on, whatever concerns there was, you know, maybe that test showed something so negligible that all you would do is do a, you know, plan another annual test the next year or something. I guess I'd like that answered.
Sure.
But A, why did it take 2.5 or 3 months to even get it tested from when they took the sample? And then why did we wait 7 more months and then there's a problem? You know, should it have alerted more? The second thing is, Commissioner Crosius made a very valid point about we also need to be cautious in how much spare equipment we really want them to have on hand. And so in this case with transformers such as this that could be kind of pull and play, I don't know if a company the size of this would have just one on hand or several on hand, but if it is more than one, then I guess I start to question, okay, so you've got multiples just for a company of your size. Do they all have to be in Maple Grove, Minnesota?
Right.
Or could one of them be farther west so that you don't have, you know, couple hundred miles extra to drive?
Sure.
And so that those two avenues, I guess, are what I would look for more answers on.
Sure. I have part of the answer on the first one, so for the testing of the oil, I don't know why it took them 3 months to initially complete the test in their laboratory, and then, you know, like we said, you know, why didn't they take action after that? But the oil sample testing is something they do annually on those transformers. You know, so whether the test will come up good, bad, or otherwise, they should be doing one every single year.
So then I guess to make my sample that, you know, if that test result that showed some concern, if the normal process would be, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't wait a year, maybe we should test it in 6 months, this don't seem too bad, but it's a little off, then fine if that's what the industry standard is. But if it showed that thing really needed to be replaced, then 7 months was too long to wait.
Agreed. Okay. Well, then I will work with NSP to set up some sort of public information exchange type of meeting. And I can extend the invite to the folks in Mayville if they're interested in either attending in person or, well, I guess
I would call it an informal.
Call it an informal.
Do we have to assign a case number too?
I think if we do an informal, we may. There's no lawyers in the room.
I was just thinking that, you know, does that then, if we assign a case number, we're conducting an investigation, does it tie back to?
Whatever, just check with Jack and see, or Jack and Brian.
Yeah, we'll figure it out with the lawyers if we need a case number or not, and what we call it.
Yeah.
One way or the other, but my one thought is, if we don't have a case number and we have any type of meeting, we don't necessarily broadcast it. If those folks in Mayville were...
But we can. I mean, that's right, not to right. say that we can't, so...
Okay.
We can also do both meetings.
Yeah.
Sure, that's true. So, I just wanted to make sure I have those details right when I reach out to those folks, so...
Yeah, okay. We definitely want it to be accessible to the public. I receive calls from two different private citizens in the Mayville area during the outage. And they were cordial enough, but they said, hey, what's going on? We don't know. We don't have power, and you know, it's day two.
Sure. So. And I did get I have an extensive amount of data requests that we did for the incident. Their communication, I didn't cover a whole lot in my memo just because there was so much information on it, but they did do text and kind of reverse, not quite reverse 911, I don't know what they call it, but essentially they send out kind of phone messages to folks who have signed up to receive those notifications.
Yeah, I think they definitely picked up the pace after calls were coming in, and then they're very cooperative. I talked to Dave Cedarquist and said, this is what's going on, and they moved fairly quickly at that point. Would have been better to have moved, you know, along at a faster pace before that. But anyway, the point in terms of the calls I had wasn't that I received calls, but that those individuals or anyone should have access in terms of being able to listen in.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think that's more than fair.
Okay, so
very good.
You'll...
I'll find some dates with the company and come back next meeting.
Sounds good. All right, last item, Randy, SPP emergency notification.
And part of why I wanted to bring this up, I'm not sure if how closely MISO is on the same. I know parts of this, there are similarities for sure. So after the February winter event, one of the many things that were reviewed were communications. There were governors that were very upset that they weren't directly notified, and in at least one instance, actually what they were asking for had been sent to like a chief of staff or some other real high-ranking official. Anyway, it really showed that it's hard for an organization that covers, you know, parts of 11 states to know exactly who to notify at each different, you know, level of concern and in what way they want to be notified. And then in all those states, as there are transitions between people in those positions and phone numbers change, email addresses change and such. And so my push has been very strong that when it comes to, you know, outside of the utility and transmission operator membership of these RTOs, of SPP, when it comes to like state government people, that each of us on the regional state committee has to kind of bring that forward and come up with who needs to be notified at what different times. And, you know, there's the, what is it, EEA 1, 2, and 3 level. There's the conservative operations, and there's ultimately load shed, and that can change hour by hour and how much load is being shed. So I guess one of my questions for each of you is, I think last winter it was Victor and I who were being notified of things. Are there levels in there of exactly when you would like to be notified by email or by text or something, or personal calls, which I hope we avoid because it gets very cumbersome when people have to actually physically call people one-on-one. And then also the second part is, as far as other parts of government, I'm curious your thoughts. My thought is going to the governor's office and finding out who they want to be on a specific list that I believe should, cover like emergency services if they want to cover them and stuff, and leaving it their responsibility to notify me when those positions change, because I just can't keep track of everything in state government.
First of all, we, Kara did send those notifications to Brian and I too, We got those. And I think that's a good standard.
So as far as your level, you guys were both satisfied mm-hmm. with the alert yep. status. It wasn't too much or too little. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Overall, I felt like the biggest problem with the communication wasn't various political leaders. It was the various transmission operators that didn't find out in a timely manner, and the utilities. To me, I don't want the RTOs trying to spend their time in an emergency notifying politicians. Like, that should not be their job. It's an endless task. And so I would push back on any effort to try to get lists of elected officials who need to be notified and, let the governor's offices figure out how they want to push back on that. Because I think it's kind of unreasonable for them to expect a personal notification on some of this stuff.
Well, in SPP, that horse has left the barn, because there is significant push from multiple states that were dissatisfied. And I do understand some of it. If someone from the press called me on Sunday and said, geez, what's going on? I guess I kind of didn't want to say, geez, I hadn't heard a thing about it yet.
Well, then maybe through the emergency offices versus the governor's office, which is, it should be an emergency response, not... Like, because then you're going to call the senator's offices. And, that's just
well,
like...
We're hoping to avoid calls, but it's not too hard to get people on an email or text list as long as then they keep updating it.
Yeah, which isn't going to happen.
Individuals change. But the fact of the matter is there are states that are wanting something other than their mm-hmm. utility commissioners notified at certain levels. And so we're accommodating that. And so I will follow up with our governor's office for sure. I'm curious if you all think there's anything else that I'm missing that should be followed up on. Otherwise,
I would say emergency management would be, and if I was the governor, I would assign that to my emergency management office, and then they would notify me like they do every other emergency. Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping the governor's office will choose to do, but I'm going to reach out to them and make the offer.
Because there's systems in those organizations where... when staff leaves and, there's those things are thought through versus, an office where you've got people coming and going a lot. And are they going to remember that they're the contact when it happens once every, 5 years that the actual notification occurs? It just doesn't seem very efficient and really hard for the RTOs to keep on top of, especially in an emergency.
But there were some really... upset political leaders that got surprised by questions they weren't aware of, and so there is going to be some. So I'm not hearing of any other suggestions of anything I missed or that any dissatisfaction as far as our agency is concerned with what we currently have in place.
I think this is consistent with what you said, Julie, and that is. You have the Department of Emergency Services, which is under the governor's office. They should have, in any state, they should be setting up how they want to communicate and distribute that information internally once it's received.
I
think it's fair both ways, to be perfectly honest. That's not hard for each, whether it's the state of Nebraska or whatever state it is, that they work effectively internally, saying, when you get this type of a message, I want to know. Mm-hmm. They do it with a number of things. So
I'm sure
we don't want to make it so burdensome, I think, is the exact point you're making, that cripples the ability to effectively communicate because everyone's counting on someone else.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I needed.
Okay. Then we're down to scheduling, or unless, did anybody else have additional items for discussion? All right.
I'm still in a Thanksgiving Day coma.
So we have the calendar of proposed commission meeting dates. I think these look good. My only input would be that we have in the past tried to have only one meeting in August to facilitate staff holidays. And this one has two. And, you know, we have one late in July that would help us facilitate a August that might only have one if we just picked the 17th instead of the 10th and the 24th. So let me just throw that out for discussion purposes. It isn't just the meetings that make everybody, you know, throws a wrench in things. It's all the, yeah, agenda items getting prepared for and all the work leading up to the meetings that is, you know, doesn't necessarily facilitate time off for staff in that time of year. But maybe that isn't a big deal anymore. I don't know, Steve.
I think it still is. One of the reasons that we put one in there was simply because the time between them got fairly long this year as opposed to other years. But I am perfectly willing to negate that meeting.
I mean, it would be a 3-week gap and a 3-week gap. Mm-hmm.
I'm not uncomfortable with that either way.
Why?
It's good.
So let's, rather than the 10th and the 24th, do the 17th of August.
I like it.
Okay. And then obviously if something urgent comes up, we're pretty good about scheduling.
Yes.
Special meeting if we need to address one item that might be needing a more timely response. All right. Otherwise, any other changes on this? No? Randy, you're good? Are you double-checking something?
My only drather on the whole process is that I talked to Steve about it. It would be more practical for us to be able to do this on a biannual basis. And again, to set up a new slate of dates for July 1st on, because it doesn't, the way we go about it, this doesn't increase transparency because you can't be any more transparent than we already are, but it inhibits our ability to add items. If we do have to shift, because invariably we're going to have to move more in the second half of the year, chances are. But.
And that's maybe something we should work on with the.
Are you in the mic?
I think if we could just double check that.
Oh yeah.
That would just make sense, and we'd be more effective and just as transparent.
Well, and maybe that's something we can work toward getting a modification in the law and rules too.
Yeah, because I'm recalling we used to kind of do these about roughly quarterly, and then someone said there's some requirement that we do for the whole year out, and so I'm sorry, but I mean semi-annually would be better than this. I'd even still prefer quarterly if we can
start pursuing a change there.
But I think I agree, it's a good idea completely, that this is too far to be very accurate.
I agree. I think semi or twice a year would be good, because it is kind of nice to have them, the dates protected, and for a variety of reasons, but a little more flexibility would
make things
more efficient. Yeah. All right.
One option might be if we could do it annually, but mark the second half of them as tentative,
right,
and then review it
and finalize
as we go, or do it annually and just not make them set until each quarter, and then we would kind of have an idea of when it's likely to be. But anyway.
So the law would have to be changed to say, rather than by whatever, December 31st, or whatever the date is, you'd have two dates, or however many dates, two separate dates. All right, well, we'll look at that. Someone should start keeping a legislative changes list. Okay.
We're also starting thinking budget, so
yep.
All comes together.
All right. Next, we've got the hearing date for MDU. Financial incentive. Oh, yes, this one. Interesting. Victor, do you have proposed dates? And do we do a notice on this, or have we already? Oh, Pat's name is on this. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Pat.
I have a draft notice that would be on the next meeting.
Okay.
And so I'm looking for dates for a hearing. It would have to be after the middle of January.
Okay.
Second half of January.
Alrighty. So
I also have dates that don't work for MDU.
Oh, do you want to share those?
January 12 doesn't work. January 24 through 26, that doesn't work. And then February 1 through 4 doesn't work.
Could we do this in an afternoon informal hearing slot, probably? Or are we thinking, how long is this going to take? Will there be the same like advanced testimony filed and witnesses, etc.? Or
I think there will be there is an advocacy position on this.
Yep.
I'm not sure that we could do an informal. I guess Jack would have to weigh in if it.
No, I'm not saying as an informal,
right,
but
right.
Doing it in that time block. I guess that the question is, will it take more than an afternoon?
I personally don't think so.
But would you feel more comfortable with the whole day? I was looking at the 19th. That was the afternoon of the 19th. That's a proposed commission day, and we would have, you know, block of time that afternoon. But also have the 20th, it looks like.
I have a similar schedule. The 20th is wide open. If we think that the 19th is enough time, I'm fine with that too. The afternoon of the 19th.
I would think so. There's not a whole lot to answer.
Yeah.
In the case, I mean, it's relatively simple.
Why don't we go with the afternoon of the 19th? Is that okay, Brian?
Yeah, that's fine. I was just thinking we could tee it up at 1 o'clock as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
And could we offer just the alternative if the company thinks that that's not enough time, that they could go ahead and schedule for the morning of the 20th?
Sure.
Good with that. So the 19th at 1 p.m. versus 1:30, or the 20th.
Are we talking December?
Nope.
January.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Victor. And then our last item is the work session on Tatanka. We should probably look for a December date for that, are we thinking?
I'm sure hoping and... I have a funeral coming up that could possibly be Monday, and so, but I think it'll be before that. But I was still in January from looking at that one. I'm wondering how would next Tuesday work for you guys?
I'm out.
I'm pretty booked up. Yeah, I've got my subboard meeting. I'm doing some of it remote, and then I'm heading there on the 8th and 9th, so I'll be gone both of those days. The morning of the 10th? Are you out all week?
I'm out all week.
All right, so let's go to the next week.
Next week, 14th, 15th. We've got to work around a few things. 16th.
The 13th won't work?
No.
We have the employee thing, and we've already set something for the morning. Yeah. I don't think the 14th is going to work.
Well, let's see.
So then, without that, or the previous week, we can't get it in on the 15th commission meeting.
And we've got the MDU natural gas distribution system conversation on the afternoon of the 15th.
Well, what about, wait, what about the end of this week?
And that's for, that's an hour and a half. At 3 o'clock, it breaks.
He's trying to get it on the 15th agenda. So we need to, what about like the tomorrow or the Friday?
Well, tomorrow would work for me. Friday, I think I need, since it's open now, I'm going to just hold it in case that funeral occurs.
Oh, sure. I would have time. I'd probably participate remotely. But I have time before 11 and between probably 2:30, from 2:30 on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I would have to do it in the morning tomorrow. Anytime in the morning.
Oh, how about like 10, 9:30?
So what's the, this is for Tatanka, correct?
Yep.
The decommissioning plan, and you want to get it on the next meeting because the company's chomping at the bit to get this process?
It doesn't seem to be that time pressing. It's just that, you know, it's an old wind farm and everybody else has financial assurances. They've never filed anything with us. We have no financial assurances on that one. And, you know, we're getting toward year end. And in the meantime, with the holidays, I just thought it was one thing that could be done. But it is not urgent.
I like cleaning things up at the end of the year, too. So, if we can get it done tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning works for me. If it does 3 years.
Yep, I can do it.
Yeah, it's to me, I looked at it. I think it's pretty simple to talk about, so.
Okay. Should we say 9:30?
Okay.
10? Whichever.
Doesn't matter.
9:30 tomorrow morning.
8 o'clock.
That would work too, but no, I prefer 8:30 at the soonest. I gotta get my.
And a hush fell over the crowd. It's like, not
there. Okay, 9:30 tomorrow, and that's the Tonka Wind, whatever case number that is.
PU 10-73.
Okay, good. All right. All right, I think that concludes
I have one final, just kind of quick cleanup one. So the last meeting, we had given some dates for the RTO update meeting in January. Right. We've heard back from both SPP and MISO, we can do the 12th of January. So I just wanted to firm that up on the calendars and then ask you to start thinking about topics you'd like them to discuss.
So, Victor, on the topics and format, Minnesota Commission has their meeting with the RTOs on Friday.
Okay.
It might be helpful for you and Adam to listen in on that and just see how they do it. I think their format is pretty productive,
okay,
from what I hear from the RTOs and the utilities. So we might get some good ideas from that, and their agenda might trigger ideas too.
Sure.
But my thought, I would like to see proposed ideas from the utilities and the RTO, like the utilities and MISO, and then I can respond with thoughts to those ideas and might have more of my own. But if we could just have, like, if Adam can just send an email out to Otter Tail and NSP and MDU and MISO and say, we've got this coming up. What, any thoughts on the agenda? Get their thoughts, and then we can, I'd ask you.
Sure. How about start times? So in the past, we've started at 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. Just wondering, and that was just with each of the RTOs, since we're kind of expanding it a little bit more, do you want to start at 9?
Again, I think we need to look at how we're going to do it, what the agenda looks like.
Okay.
Watch the Minnesota's, and then maybe we can have a planning discussion.
Sure.
Do that. To talk about the time frame.
When is that Minnesota meeting?
Friday.
Yeah, why don't we watch that and just take this up? We can just set something up and discuss it next week or something if we don't.
Well, yeah, we can, it doesn't work, just wait till the 19th. Meeting too, so.
Yeah.
Is that enough time though? For?
Oh, yeah.
That's less than a month then, and if we're going to set it, if that agenda type causes us to start earlier than, I'm sure they're setting their flight plans.
Yeah.
To be here.
I think they're planning to be here. Well, whoever is going to have to be here that morning. Like, they can't fly in.
Right. Tentatively, when we spoke to the two RTOs, SPP asked if they could be up in the morning versus sure. the afternoon, and NYISO didn't have an issue with that.
Yeah. So they'll have to come in the night before anyways. Yep. Yeah.
So in Minnesota, is there that much similarity that they do like one in the morning and one in the afternoon?
Not sure how they do it.
Have some
they
kind even, of a mix and match?
They well, they only touch? Have one RTO, so they only have SPP. Okay.
Well, they do have SPP, but they don't
they do?
Participate. Oh. They have a very tiny piece that's in the SPP.
Yeah. I think it's mostly just a MISO utility discussion, but it's pretty structured. And they do it quarterly. Like, religiously, it's a quarterly thing.
Sure. Okay, so we can just plan on keeping them separate, so SPP knows they can come in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank the 12 does work for me yet.
So, yeah, we'll reserve that for certain.
Awesome. All right, thanks, everybody. We're adjourned.